about Maase Yehudis, one of the central stories and themes connected, not that I said central, I take that back, one of the side themes and stories connected with Hanukkah is what we call Maase Yehudis. Yeah.
Not hearing you back here.
You're not hearing me? It's not working? Okay, better now? Okay, it's Maase Yehudis. Who is Yehudis? When did she live? What did she do? What do we know about her? So the truth is, this is one of the biggest mysteries about the mysteries that related, that touched upon Hanukkah. Masechta Megillah, Tosfos and Masechta Megillah, Daf Dalet Amud Beis says regarding the concept of Af Hein Hoyu BeOisay Hanes, Noshim are Chayiv in Megillah, and Noshim are Chayiv in Hadlokas Haneros, She Af Hein Hoyu BeOisay Hanes. So Tosfos says, what does it mean? Af Hein Hoyu BeOisay Hanes, Ikur Hanes Hoya Al Yodon. That's a very powerful term. The Iker, the primary cause of the miracle came about through women. Bepurim, obviously, Al Yidei Esther. Okay, why Esther? Why we say Lech Kenois is called HaYehudim? Okay, but Esther was the one that was Moser Nev, she reached to come, she went to Achashverosh. Bechanukah, this is very shocking what he says, Bechanukah Al Yidei Yehudis. Tois explicitly says her name, and says that Hanukkah, the miracle of Hanukkah, came about through Yehudis. She was the one that brought about the salvation of Klal Yisrael, the victory of the Yevanim over the Chashmonaim over the Yevanim. Now this is a very powerful statement. Okay, now now most of all of the other commentators, the Rishonim, who even do mention it, many of them don't, and those who do mention it, and they don't necessarily say who what her name was, and when it happened, they don't say that she was the Iker. She may have been part of the story, but not to go so far and say she was the Iker. Now, first of all, what exactly is the story? Where does it appear? So we today, with the benefit of all of the various Sefarim, Sifri HaChitzonim, and Midrashim, we have access to things that the Kadmonim did not have access to. So in that fact, this book that I have over here called Inside Hanukkah, it's a fantastic Sefer, Aryeh Pinchas Strickoff, unbelievable Sefer, has everything you want about Hanukkah. I also have a whole kuntras just devoted to this, called Maase Yehudis, whole kuntras devoted to this, and they basically say the same. Each one is a little different. I didn't really spend too much time going through either one of them in very great detail, but we have today a lot of material of the Midrashim where it is recorded what happened in Sefer. The most legitimate record, which is the Megillas Antiochus, or we call Megillas Beis Chashmonai, there is no mention of Yehudis, and that is very disturbing. There is no mention. The only mention we find is in Megillas Tainis. That's pretty good. Okay, Tosfos just says one word about it. There's the Ran. The Ran says there's a Rashi which says not her name. The Kolboy, the Rokeach. These are all Rishonim. But as far as Midrashim, it's really found in the Sifri Chitzonius. There's a Sefer called Sefer Yehudis. Okay, then there's a Sefer called Maase Yehudis. Different versions. One is long, one is very, very long, very, very detailed. But the authenticity of these stories is questionable. Who wrote it, when it was written, and if the details are actually correct. But there are Midrashim, and we do have a record. So basically, there are three versions of the story. Version number one is that there was a siege, and the siege of Yerushalayim was coming to a point where the people were starving to death. And this woman Yehudis, which we assume was the daughter of Matisyahu, the brother of the five brothers of Matisyahu, Yehuda, Elazar, I forgot their names, the five brothers who were the big warriors. She decided that she's going to go and try to do something for Klal Yisrael. She was exquisitely beautiful. She went outside the city and she said she wants to surrender. She wants to defect. She's a turncoat. She wants to defect and go to the other side, and she'll give them information how they can conquer the city. This was her plan. So she secretly went to the other side, she met with the soldiers, she said, she's defecting, I want to live, I want to survive, in exchange I'll tell you how to break through the fortifications and conquer the city. They believed her, they took her, and she said, I'm only going to tell this information to the king or to the top general. They gave her an audience with the king and the general. The king and the general was overtaken by her exquisite beauty and wanted to have a private audience with her. He takes her into his home, they have a meal, and then she serves him cheese and wine. She puts him to sleep, she takes his own sword, she chops off his head, not like Yael. Yael, in Sefer Devorah, she was a tsunua. She did not want to use a sword. Lo silbash isha gever. So she took the peg of the tent. She was a modern woman. Yehudis was a modern woman. She took the sword of the general himself and she chopped off his own head. She took his head. What? That's what she was. She took the head, she wrapped up in a shmata, she went back home, secretly back to Yerushalayim, and they hung up the head on the top of the wall of the city. The soldiers saw the head of their general hanging on the top of the city. They were petrified, and they all ran away, and a war began, and they chased after them, and that was the beginning of how the Yedchashmonoim finally prevailed over the Yavon. Okay, so that's one version of the story. Second version of the story, from different sources, is that Yehudis, there was a gezerah during the time of Chanukah. There were 52 years of this Chanukah. This gezerah really was only, if we know for a fact, was for 3 years and 8 months, where the rule was any besul who gets married at the wedding first has to live with the general or the governor. So she, and they did this. People had no choice. They gave into this. Who was getting married that night? The daughter of Matisyahu. And it was a beautiful wedding. Everyone came to the wedding, and this was going to happen. There was nothing they can do about it. So she was very upset. How do you, my brothers, my five strong brothers, allow this to happen? So at the wedding, she did something that was not... There was all of the Rabbanim were sitting at the wedding. She took off her head covering. Okay, she took off her head covering. Her shmata. And she uncovered her hair. Now it appears she did maybe a little bit more than that. She did things that was not in the standards of time. And everyone, huh? Everyone was in shock. How can a Bas Yisrael, the daughter of the Kohen Gadol, go and expose herself in such an undignified way in front of all of the Rabbanan and all of the Gedolei Yisrael? So they were furious. There was an outroar. So she said to them, this is what you're upset about, that I uncover my hair or I uncover part of my dress. That's what you're upset about. And this, that I have to go live with the Hegemon, that you don't care about? So they said, you know, you're right. You're absolutely right. And they were all worked up. Let's now all go with you to the Hegemon. Let's escort you to the Hegemon right now. They escort her to the Hegemon. They come into the house of the Hegemon. They say, here she is. Can we also come in, you know, to sit down, have a cup of coffee before? They come in and they kill out the whole, they kill the Hegemon, they kill him, they kill the officers, they destroy the house, and that starts a war which ultimately leads to the victory of the Chashmonaim over the Yavanim. Now notice, these two stories have nothing to do with one another. The first story is there's a siege, they're about to die, she makes believe that she's defecting to the enemy, and then she has an audience with the general, because the general sees she's beautiful, she wants to live with her, and she kills him. This is a whole different story. There's a gezerah, they're sitting at the wedding, she's going to soon be nival to the Hegemon. She's very upset. So she does something which is not sinistic in front of the Rabbanan, and they get upset. Oh, that's what you're upset about. You're not upset about the Iker. What's the Iker? What's the Tafel? That started a war, and that brought about their success. Some versions combine the two together. They combine the... Now, by the way, the second version, there's no cheese, and there's no wine. There's nothing to drink. Okay, it's a wedding, and this whole thing comes about. Some of them, I think the Mishnah Berurah or the other Mishnah, I can't go on, too many details to go through, so I can't remember all these things, is they combine the two stories together. There was a gezerah, and there was a gezerah, and she had to be nivel a Hegemon, And I don't know how all the details come together, but as she was taken to the Hegmon, she first fed him cheese and wine, she put him to sleep, and she killed him. I guess all with the participation and the plan of the brothers. So some versions combine all of these things together. Okay, so that's the basic. So you have to be aware of, there are two versions, there are 2/3 versions of the story. It's scattered out in the Rishonim. One of the best references for the story is in the Piyutim. There are Yotzrois for Chanukah. There's a Yotzer for the first Shabbos Chanukah and a Yotzer for the second Shabbos of Chanukah. And both these Yotzrois, it spells out some of the details of the story. Now the big question that's not so simple is, when exactly did this story happen? Did it actually happen during the time of Chanukah? Or maybe it happened at a different point in time? So truth be told, in Megillas Tainis, it says that the story happened on Yud Zayin Elul. Now, Yud Zayin Elul is very far, has nothing to do with Chanukah. So why then is the story of Yehudis related to Chanukah? So some will say, because that's what started the Muhammad, which ultimately led to the victory. Okay, but some say no, some say the truth is, you're right. The story of Yehudis, in truth, has nothing to do whatsoever with Chanukah. Maybe it took place during the time of Chanukah, maybe it took place, let's say, even 50 years before Chanukah, 100 years before Chanukah. It has mamish nothing to do with Chanukah. However, when the Chazal were mevatel Megillas Tainis, they still wanted to combine some miracles together. I'll give you the classic precedent for this, is interesting, is Purim. Purim is the minikdeit hamantashen. Hamantashen, it used to be that the inside of the hamantashen was seeds. Okay, today it's, I don't know, everything except for seeds. But it used to be seeds. Why seeds? It's a zecher for Doniel. Doniel, when he was taken to the king, he ate seeds to survive. That has almost nothing to do with Purim. So why are we eating seeds on Purim when Daniel, his survival really has almost nothing to do with Purim? Ein hachanami. When you have a holiday, sometimes you gotta merge. You have to merge other miracles. Since we were mevatel Megillas Tainis, so we're only gonna have Purim and Chanukah, you have to celebrate multiple holidays on one day. So on Purim, chaperai. Purim, Daniel is mentioned in the Haggadah. Nu chasach. So nu, let's do something, a zecher for Daniel, a miracle, even though it has nothing to do with Purim. Likewise, Chanukah, Yehudis could very well be took place during a tekuf that was unrelated to the Chanukah miracle. But when the Chazal wanted us to preserve this miracle, this great miracle, since it falls under the banner of Giboyrim Biyat Chaloshim, Rabim Biyat Me'atim, we've merged the celebration, the miracle of Yehudis with Yom Tov of Chanukah. But it's not necessarily at Kedei Kach. Some of Farshim want to say, what? Not Purim. Purim is the only thing. Ad Kedei Kach, someone is saying is that the Mice of Yehudis took place after Chanukah. Chanukah miracle was over. They found the Pach Shemen. They won the war. And then at a later point in time, it was the Mice of Yehudis. Later, still, when we commemorate Chanukah today, we merge it with this other miracle to commemorate these two miracles. That's how far it goes. Now, I just want to point out that there are halachos. We keep on saying that it's Yehudis. Truth is, it's not so clear who was Yehudis. Either the daughter of the Kohen, the daughter of Matisyahu. Some say she was not. She was the wife of the king, whoever the king was at that point in time. Also, some say her name was not Yehudis. Her name was Chanah. Her name was Chanah. That's another version. Is it Chanah or is it Yehudis? Okay, that's another point to keep in mind. And when did it happen? Also, by the way, some say it took place during the time of the Bayis Rishon, the Churban Bayis Rishon, going back 200 years, nothing to do. But again, we merge. And only the last thing I want to point out for Rav Yossi speaks is that some say that this, there are halachas. There are halachas and minhagim which are derived from this mice. For example, it is the minug of Nashim not to do malacha when the candles are lit. Why? Because of Yehudis. It's an extra special Yom Tov for them. It's a minug to eat milchiks, to eat cheese and milchiks. There's a minug to say Eishes Chayil. Some people, when they light the candles, have the custom to recite Eishes Chayil in honor of Yehudis, what she did to her Mesiras Nefesh, her cleverness to save Klal Yisrael. Also interesting, I just want to point out is that there's a very powerful similarity. Being that if we say that Yehudis, according to Tosfos, it's the Ikar Hanes, notice that there are significant similarities between Purim and Hanukkah. Purim was Esther. What was Esther? She was Nivala. She was taken to a Goyisha king to have marital relations, to be his wife. Okay, v'chasher avadati avadati. Here, Yehudis, the Gezer was exactly the same thing. Yehudis is being taken to the Kafsar to have marital relations. And through that, she was able to go and kill him and bring about the miracle. It's interesting that this concept crosses the line between Purim and Chanukah. Okay, any other nafkamina? Chana, some actually say the Tfil of Chana. The Tfil of Chana in Sefer Shmuel is also, some people recite that. Why? Because her name was really Chana. And the tefillah there, even though we're talking about a different period of time, it alludes to the shiur that she sang, also alludes to salvation of an individual. So somehow we connect them. I don't really get how we connect it, but it is related. What?
Like, for example, the story of the seventh
son. Chana v'shiva sheva, that's another story. That's another whole topic. Okay, so this is an interesting topic. Maisa Yehudis, when did it happen? What exactly happened? Where do we find sources for it? What it says in the Rishonim, in the Piyutim, in the Goinim, and the Midrashim, Sifrei HaChitzonim, and the Halachos which come from it, and to know exactly at which period of time it occurred. And some say that's really nothing to do with Chanukah. It's just that once we celebrate Chanukah, we chaperain, and we also celebrate other miracles. And that's logical, because in Shulchan Aruch there's a halacha that when you make a bracha of Neish, Asali Neish, B'mokayim Hazeh, you mechuyiv to recount all of the miracles that happened to you in this location. That fits with that reasoning. When a miracle happens to you, you don't just say this miracle, you recount all the miracles that happened to you in this place. Without further ado, we call upon Rabbi Maya. Absolutely.